support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
You know that health is wealth and ital is vital. They're not just some rhyming words. It's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else.
And good afternoon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. And I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host, and I'm here with my able assistant and producer, Mr. Frank Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well. I'm excited again. I'm telling you, I'm more excited.
Yeah, you know, throughout the month of June and into July, we've been focusing on male health, a topic that unfortunately has not been given the kind of focus that it needs. And so today we're going to continue to focus on that. You know, to a man, the word that is more devastating than even cancer or heart disease is impotence. And so today we're going to talk about impotence. It's more than a notion. And to help us with this topic, we've brought back one of our regulars, Dr. Milton Mills, and we're honored to have him. Dr. Mills is a Stanford trained physician where he served as the student body president of the medical school. He did his residency at Georgetown Hospital in Washington, D.C., and he's done just a number of things, but we don't have to talk about him. His words will speak for themselves. So, Dr. Mills, this thing of male impotence, or the primary focus is the prostate with men. But it's more than just a notion. We focus on that, but there's so many things surrounding that. And we know that black men are an endangered species. They're dying like flies. You know, the middle-aged black men, they're dying at twice the rate. Of white men, and they have the lowest life expectancy of any group in America, you know, and while the prostate is so important for impotence, something that's perhaps even more important is this thing of prostate cancer.
Yes,
prostate cancer, you know. Middle-aged black men are dying at nearly twice the rate. We're getting it at an earlier age,
right?
So tell us a little bit about, you know, why is this, and more importantly, what can we do to change this picture around?
Sure. So first of all, let me just say thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure to be back with you and Frank and doing this important work for the community, because what's crystal clear is that if we don't get this information out to our community, ourselves, nobody else will. And as you have alluded to, there is a massive, massive health crisis within the Black community as a whole, but particularly amongst Black men, as you have pointed out, and I don't think many people stop to think about this enough. Black men have the shortest life expectancy of any ethnic and gender group in the United States. Again, we have the shortest life expectancy of any ethnic and gender group within the United States. Moreover, we lead the pack in all the wrong areas. When it comes to all of the chronic diseases and major cancers, Black men are at the top of the list, and we have the highest incidence and the greatest mortality. These are just stunning, stunning, stunning statistics. It obviously has far-reaching implications, because it makes it very difficult to maintain a family when you don't have either the head of the household there because he's died, or because he's incapacitated by the illness. So I'm making these points because I want people to understand that this is a crisis, even though it's not discussed. And we need to start talking about it. We need to bring it to the fore so that people will realize what's going on, and our children will realize what's happening to their families, and realize that there are things that can be done to avoid this. Now, we specifically started talking about I guess you could say your genital tract, with respect to issues of erectile dysfunction, sexual performance, and prostate health. And all of those things are intimately connected, because if your prostate is inflamed or enlarged, or heaven forbid, if you've got prostate cancer, your ability to perform sexually is all but nil. And as you mentioned, Black men have 70% more prostate cancer, a higher 70% higher incidence of prostate cancer than Caucasian men in the United States. And what's even worse is that once a Black man is diagnosed with prostate cancer, he's more than twice as likely to die from it than his white counterparts. And again, as you also pointed out, we tend to get prostate cancer at 10 to 15 years earlier than our white counterparts. Caucasian men tend to get prostate cancer issues in their late 50s at the earliest, into their 60s and 70s. Black men start to have issues with prostate cancer as early as our 40s.
Is this a genetic thing? I mean, do we see the same thing in Africa?
That is a fantastic question, and you must have anticipated where I was going, because it is genetic in the sense that we, as fighting off the pathogens that are in the environment. Well, what is the primary way? Our
Mills.
Yes, sir.
You went and testified to the
dietary guidelines committee.
Dietary guidelines, the people that make the food pyramid. And what was the result of that? Second question is, do you think the outcome of your speech made it affected them? And do you think this dairy is, the consumption of dairy is on purpose for Black people?
Okay, so let's start with the last question first. Absolutely, it is on purpose. I want everyone to understand that the push for dairy consumption is economically driven, and it's marketing masquerading as health advice, okay? Because the USDA, the US government, has known for years that, number one, African-American women don't even get osteoporosis. They're genetically protected against it. Okay, that's number one. Number two, that studies have shown consistently that calcium from dairy does not build strong bones. So dairy is not a good way to get calcium at all. And when you look at
mammals, it's a way to get rid of it.
Yes, exactly.
Acidifies the blood.
And when you look at mammals, every species, no mammalian species mineralizes its adult skeleton using mother's milk. They do it by eating their regular diet. So this has nothing to do with health. It is all marketing. And for years, they have known about the lactose intolerance amongst Blacks and school children, and they didn't care. Because for the dairy industry, it was all about making money. So in terms of, did my testimony have an impact? I believe it did, because the year that I that famous clip was made, there were no Black members on that advisory committee. The next year and ever since, there has been at least one. So it has had something of an impact. And I'm hopeful that the people that they have subsequently put on the committee are bringing more of perspective that is appropriate for people of color. And towards that end, they did finally pass a bill this past year that allows families to request non-cow's milk be served to their children in school. Prior to this year, the only type of milk that could be served to school children who participated in the National School Lunch Program was cow's milk. But since that bill has been signed, any family can petition the school and say, I do not want you serving my child cow's milk. Please serve them soy milk, oat milk, almond milk, one of the others. And the school has to do it by law. And so that is a huge change. Because one of the things that I think has been, again, under-recognized and ignored is, you know, people often talk about this persistent achievement gap between children of color and white kids. Well, when you realize that a large percentage of Black children and other children of color participate in the school lunch program, and when they do, they are required to receive cow's milk as part of their breakfast and lunch. Imagine, if you will, these children, the Black children, having ingested that cow's milk, sitting in class, starting to get cramps, diarrhea, bloating, gas, nausea. How are they going to concentrate on their schoolwork while their little, you know, Caucasian classmates are doing just fine because they don't have the prevalence of lactose intolerance that the Black children have? So this has been a problem on a number of different levels. And I encourage parents to immediately petition their school to not give their child cow's milk products and to switch to a dairy alternative.
So when you combine the cow's milk with the sugar and the refined foods and the animal protein,
right?
What are we seeing?
Well, then I mean, it's
the left one. It's the left. The left one don't get you the right one, and then you hit him right again with the left.
Exactly. And it becomes an even more lethal and toxic combination that ramps up just massive levels of inflammation in the body, and also can cause a type of brain fog that inhibits learning, reduces muscle performance in athletes. It just causes a laundry list of health problems and mental problems gene pool hails from. That was not something that tracks to West Africa, number one. Number two, the Amish do not raise their dairy animals the way the American dairy industry does, by keeping them continuously pregnant. And so I would strongly suspect that there is a lot less estrogen and synthetic chemicals and hormones in the dairy products consumed by the Amish, as opposed to those that are bought commercially by other Ohioans. And lastly, you know, Amish in general lead a much healthier lifestyle in terms of their overall dietary composition, and don't eat you know, huge amounts of meat, dairy, and
that's not true.
Well, ma'am,
it is true.
It is, and I would encourage you to find some papers and share them with the show, because I assure you it is true.
We want to thank you so much, Dr. Mills. You know, there's so much more that we could talk about.
Right.
You know, the point that you made earlier about the genetic us being you know, the
from West African gene pool. We're not from Northern Saharan. We're not from
East Africa.
Practice dairying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Brother Frank, any closing remarks?
Man, thank you, Docs, for presenting this life-saving information. And thank you to our engineers, Kalia Chapman and Brian Bernard. And thank you to the WPFW staff. Tune in next Monday at 2 p.m. for another episode of To Your Health. You can also listen to the past and this episode at wpfwfm.org/archives. Next.